in love with God. Wow. Now, that's not a reality for many folks, you know, but it's God's desire that we would know Him in that way, that we really are in love with God. And we know He's in love with us. And it's through that revelation that brings us into that place of just, you can't help but love love. He is love. And the greatest commandment in the Bible is to what? Is to love the Lord your God, right? Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And so it's very important that we understand what this really means. And not in a legalistic sense, not in the sense of just a law that you must love. But how many know that you can't love God out of obligation? Or because you were forced into it? Can anybody love by force? No. It's consensual. There must be a desire for fellowship from both parties. Now, I touched on this Sunday night, but when we talk to God in prayer with our requests, you know, the Bible says to make your requests known, right? We're praying in hope that we will receive from the Lord, right? When we bring a request to the Lord, I'm hoping that you're praying in hope, right? That you're not just offering empty words and, you know, chattering, but that we are really believing that what we are praying for, God is going to answer. So we offer prayers of hope. In 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, I exhort, first of all, thanks, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. How many pray for the president? That we may lead a quiet, how many know he needs prayer? And peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And then there's proclamation, declaration prayers. These would be like a prayer of faith. Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth, confession. Confession with what? With the mouth. Is made to salvation. But prayer, praise and worship are prayers of love. Prayers of love. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And so when we are living in intimate union with God, through praise and worship, we'll find that the prayer of faith will come much easier. Amen? Amen? To administer. We find our proclamations and declarations when they are in line with Father God. Amen? That there are results. Now, we're not just naming and claiming out of selfish ambition. There's a difference. Are you with me today? But there is a time to decree and a time to proclaim, amen, and to make a declaration. And you do that when the Spirit directs you to do so. And so what we want to do, as it was already said earlier, is to agree with Father God. Agree with God. Find out what He's doing. Find out what He's speaking. Amen. Listen for His voice. And align yourself with God. Align yourself with what He's doing and what He's saying and where He's going. And you're walking in life. You're walking in the Spirit, where there's life and there's peace. There's joy in the Holy Spirit. And so God wants us to walk in this place of intimacy with Him and to agree with Him, because His Word is life. His commandment really is life, folks. He came that we might have life. Now, in the New Testament, we are a royal priesthood. That means we're given authority in Christ to bless people. How many knew you had been given authority in Christ to bless others? When we talk about a benediction, it's speaking a blessing over others. Amen? So we are called to bless people as new covenant believers in, right, the covenant in Jesus' blood. We have become, in a sense, a royal priesthood. Under the old covenant, the Aaronic priesthood, amen, would proclaim a blessing. God instructed Moses in the Old Testament to tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people in this manner. And that's from Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24 through 27. He said what? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God instructed Moses to instruct Aaron, to instruct his sons, to proclaim that blessing over the people. How many know that your words are powerful in Christ? Amen? There's power of life and death in the tongue. And if you are in Christ, you have been given the authority by Father, amen, to go and decree a thing and it shall come to pass when you are in agreement with Father. And when you speak the word over someone, you speak a blessing over someone in agreement with what Father God says, it shall come to pass. Peace. Peace of the Lord to you. Yeah, right on. Now, he didn't say, listen, to Moses to ask for grace and blessings for the people. He didn't say ask for grace and blessings for the people. All right? I want you to get this. But they were given authority by God to bless people. What God wants you and I to understand is that in Christ you have been given the authority to be a blessing and to bless people. And as a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9, we have authority to speak and declare blessings. We are agents of God's pleasure and goodness on the earth. When we speak of the Lord lifting up His countenance upon us, what we're really saying is, Lord, I want You to smile on me. How many know that when Jesus is smiling on you, you're going to have a smile on your face? To be truly blessed by God means to be made happy by God. When you and I bless other people, we're bringing joy and happiness to them. Has anybody ever been blessed and not found joy and happiness in it? When you bless someone, you're bringing joy, you're bringing happiness to them. Come on. Thank you, man. That was a real blessing. Hallelujah. And we can give praise to God when someone blesses us. Let your light so shine before men. Right? For what purpose? That we may give glory to Father God. Hallelujah. So we are truly seated with Christ in heavenly places. If that is true, and that's what the Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If we've been raised up with Christ, then faith tells me that I'm already in that place with Him. You don't need to climb to heaven. You're not buying a stairway to heaven. You don't need to climb up. Heaven is Jesus, and heaven is in your heart. Life and peace are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so if you and I are not in love with God, we will not be able to influence others, folks, to love God. And again, this is not something that you do in the sense that it's a commandment. I have to love God, so I'm just going to love God. You have to experience God's love. You have to experience His goodness. You have to taste of Him before you say, God is good. I mean, God is really good. God is sweet. God is pleasurable. God is desirable. Let us drink from the river of His pleasure. Let us spend time in the wine room. Amen with Jesus. getting intoxicated in His love. And then the lesser things of the world we don't want anymore. We don't need it. Come on. When you're getting high on the Most High. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice.
Almost got you going there.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Thank you, Jesus, though. Would you agree with me today that it is the pleasure of God that makes Him so desirable? All right. Yeah, and some people look at you like you got three eyes or something. And sometimes you say that. When one has been, I got four actually, but when one has been convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sinfulness, what's the purpose of that? It's for bringing that person into a position for the blessing of God. It's not just to make you miserable and make you feel, you know, like you're just a rat and no good. Conviction by the Holy Spirit is a blessing. It's a good thing. When we begin to understand that we are separated from God, amen, and that we have need of His mercy, we have need of His grace, we have need of His forgiveness. For what purpose? Because God wants to bless you ultimately. God wants to bless you with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We just read that. Yeah, God wants to make you happy in Him. And when you're happy in Him, you don't find happiness in lesser things. It pales in comparison. Yeah. You want to get delivered? Amen? You need deliverance? Get more of Jesus. Get schnockered on Him, you know? Just get intoxicated on Him. And you, I mean, it's true. Somebody got those Jesus smiles going on this morning already. Getting high in this place. Hallelujah. It's a choice to rejoice. The Holy Spirit never convicts us. He never convicts us for the purpose of condemnation. Yeah. No, that's not why He came. It's to bring us into position so the blessing of Father can come upon His children. And we can be made happy in God. So we can rejoice in the court of our King again. Amen? And we can make Him known because people will see that God is good because they're going to see the image Christ in us. How many know that Jesus is the happiest? How many know that Jesus isn't all stressed out? Life is good in the God zone, folks. We just got to get into the God zone sometime, right? We're going through it, man. It's just time out. Get back. Romans 14:17. I read this a lot, but I want us to really get this in our spirit. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord spoke to His ancient people Israel. And it says, the Lord has appeared of old to me saying, yes, I have loved you. With an everlasting love. It wasn't that God just one day decided, I think I'm going to love these people. Right? And the same thing is true about you and I. It wasn't that one day, hey, he's a pretty good kid, I think I'll love him now. God had already always loved you. Always loved you. It's a sin-sick world that we've had to live in and grow up in, and under so many things that have often robbed us of our true identity and understanding who we really are. And God, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, begins to reveal to us who we really are in Christ. That even as we bear the earthly image, we shall also bear the heavenly. As we look in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We see. When we look in the face of God, we see who God really is. We begin to understand who we are as we were created in His image. and by the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, the problem of sin, amen, has been dealt with. And the marring, the consequence of sin that has marred our image and our identity, God has come to restore and to transform into new creations. Amen? Not to patch us, but to transform. As we're being changed from glory to glory. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, listen now, with loving kindness I have drawn you. Ah. He didn't draw us with an iron fist, folks. But it was His tender mercies. You see, we have to know the tender mercies of God in order to be able to love Him. Yeah. So the greatest commandment can only be fulfilled in those of us who walk in Christ. Are you with me? All of the law is summed up in this one saying, namely, what? Love God. Amen? And love your neighbor as yourself. Love, amen, has no torment. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? God's love puts us in a different place in our mind and our thinking. It changes everything. It doesn't matter, you know, how wicked a person may be. The love of God is greater. Amen? And the devil cannot stand it. So when they curse you, bless them back. Faith tells me I'm already in that place with Christ, seated with Him in heavenly places. So it's not a matter of climbing up to God. It's a matter of agreeing with what God has already said about me. And you can make a decree and a declaration in your own life and say, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Life is good in the God zone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. You see, His loving kindness is motivated by His deep, everlasting love. And you know what? God was speaking here through Jeremiah, but He was saying, I want to bless you, my people, but you have to let me. Yeah? That's the problem, you see. Is God wants to bless people, but He has to bring you into a position so He can do that. You have to get right with Him so He can bless you. Yeah. You have to let Him bless you. You have to cooperate with God. Yes, Lord. Okay. Lord, what can I do for you? You know, what do you want me to do, Lord? What's my part here? I want to agree with you. How many know we have to cooperate? We have to work together with the Lord. Yeah. See, God was warning His people here through Jeremiah that, you know, living independent of Him is dangerous. Man was not created to be independent of his Creator. But He wants us to know how much He really loves us. Instead of thinking of God with dread, you know, we need to look carefully here. I want you to see this and see Him lovingly drawing you towards Him. He lovingly draws you towards Him. You know, the problem why there's so many miserable Christians is because of bad theology. You know, the letter of the law kills. But the Spirit gives life. And the Spirit of the Word, amen, is Jesus and His Spirit, the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of this is not so that we would in our own willpower and flesh try to live by rules, but that we might come into Christ where the Holy One is in us, where we become integrated into the Holy One, and the law is now upon our hearts because of His Spirit that He's given to us. We understand what pleases the Lord. We begin to understand what grieves the Lord. We begin to understand the right way to walk, the right way to live, how to commune, amen, with Him, and how to commune with others. How to live in such a way that we don't bring offense to people, amen, except by the offense of the gospel itself. But we are not rude. Love is not rude, for example. And so we are walking in Christ, in the love of God. And through that love, folks, how many that are here today, you came to God because of His love for you? Amen? Yeah. I mean, some people initially came to God out of sheer terror. You know, I think I did. And but it's the terror of the Lord that also we persuade men, right? Because we need to understand the severity and the goodness of the Lord. Come on. Now, it's God's intent, it's God's desire, it's God's will to bless you, to bring you in the position to bless you. But He can't do that because He's holy. Are you with me? If you don't agree with Him, if you don't cooperate with Him, if you don't believe Him, He can't help you. He won't help you because He is the truth. He is the truth. And therefore, we have to cooperate with what is really real. There's no fakeness at all to God. Amen? He's completely whole. He's completely real. He is who He is. He doesn't change. So what we want to do is be integrated into God, amen, so that we are transformed into His image and we begin to once again bear His image. And people will look upon you and say, you know, brother, you look familiar. I've seen you somewhere before. And hopefully it's Jesus that they're seeing. Ah, that's what you see. Have you ever sat in a family with the Lord here in your midst? He was just singing a song. And seeing the face, seeing the look of love on each other, then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. So we see Jesus in each other as we abide in Him, as we are intimate in the Spirit with Him, as we continue in Him, we will reflect Him. We will change to be like Him. Just like heard said before, the longer you've been married to someone, you know, the more you actually start to look like each other often, right? You start to think. I'm sorry, yeah, I know. That was hurtful for some of you, but no. I apologize to my wife all the time, but yeah. You start to think alike. You start to, you know, you begin to understand what not to say. And when to say it. Isn't that the way it is in the Lord, though? I mean, it's as we get more and more in tune with Him and acquainted with Him, and we just get deeper in love. You know, it's true that a healthy marriage, you know, that love will grow. It will go deeper. And it's the storms that beat sometimes, you know, against the tree that cause the roots to go deeper. And if we have the right attitude about it, man, it can be beautiful, you know. Because I remember my first pastor who told me that when he would marry somebody and he would counsel him, he says, you two don't really love each other. Oh, they get upset. What do you mean we don't love each other? He says, you know, that thing you're feeling right now, most of it now, I'm not saying there's no love there, but it's not nearly what it's going to become if you go about this the right way. You're having an emotional rush. You're having those good feelings, the warm fuzzies, you know, the excitability of the newness in the relationship possibly, right? Are you with me? Yes, yes, yes. And then you've heard the statement, then the honeymoon ends, right? Well, you know what these two, when they got married, remember what he said, right? I said, never let the honeymoon end. And they haven't. They haven't. And that's the way. That's the way to live. And it's the same way with Jesus. Never let the honeymoon end. Stay infatuated. Stay in love. Stay close. Amen. Make him your number one. You're just in. Yeah. I'm in love with Jesus and he's in love with me. And I want to live to put a smile on his face. And when he's smiling on you, you're going to be smiling too. And we say, Lord, really first, bless me, keep me, cause your face to shine on me. Amen. Be gracious to lift up the countenance of your countenance upon me. Lord, smiling on me. Because we need him to smile on us. We need to draw from his love, draw from his presence so that we could live in him. He's our life. And unless he said, unless you abide in the vine, you have no life, right? You cannot produce fruit. So we don't have to think of God with dread, but look carefully to see him lovingly drawing us towards him. Now, I want us to, in closing, go to Luke chapter 7. Notice I said closing. The first closing. We abide by the three-strike rule here, so. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Now, this would be very costly perfume. It could be a year's wage even at that time to pay for this. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, how many know Jesus loved Simon too? I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. I just love the way Jesus messes with people, you know. Telling on himself. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her hair, with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. What did she do? She ministered to the Lord. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Wow. What do you suppose motivated this woman who was a sinner to pour out her heart to Jesus? Yeah. It was his great mercy and compassion that drew her to him. She loved on Jesus. Jesus had already visited her in the sense that she had the Spirit of God had already captivated her. He had captivated her. And she came in and just poured her heart out to Jesus. And she loved on him because he said, to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. But he said that she loved much. So she had already experienced the great mercy, the great compassion, the great love of God. And as a result of that, she loved the Lord with all, you could see her whole heart. She poured out to Jesus because she was in love with Jesus, folks. Do you see it? God is in love with you. God loves you. And He wants you to have a revelation of how much He is in love with you. You know what? It's easy to love a God who truly loves you. Hear that. So much so that He laid down His life for us. For what reason? So we could be restored into fellowship with Him and enjoy the pleasures of God forevermore. Would you like to be introduced to this God?
Absolutely.
Would you like to meet Him? He said, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in. And we'll have intimacy. We will sit at His table. We will dine. And we will fill ourselves up in His love, you see. It's easy to love this God who loved me so much that He died for me. Yeah? It's easy for me to love a God who loved me so much He was willing to give His only begotten Son to die for me. Yeah. How can we love God? How can we really love God? By understanding who He really is. Yeah. We need to repent. We need to change our thinking. That's what it means. We need to change our minds need to be changed. They need to be renewed. We've had a lot of stinking thinking. We've had a lot of bad theology. We've had a lot of stuff told us about God that instead of drawing us to Him, as in many cases, chased people away from Him. But I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I have drawn you with my tender mercies.